threats of today, because he is doing work which is very tedious and solves the problem we have also to get packages, to get runtimes, and he does that since 10 years. So extra applause to Paul.
Thank you, Sarah.
Well, as you can see, the first version of what I called build automation with Tickl, I introduced more or less exactly 10 years ago at the EuroTickl 2016 in Eindhoven. And since that time it has evolved a little bit. And the funny thing, the spelling of build automation with Tickl is one of the rare cases where in German it says the BAWT, while in English it's BAWT. It's very long, so I will either call it BAWT or just the framework. That was the conclusion 10 years ago on my summary page. The framework should enable every Tickl developer or user who does not know about C or C++ to build his own Tickl batteries suited to his needs. So for those of you who are not familiar with the framework, I have some introduction slides. What's it all about? The framework has one big Tickl script which just transparently handles all the nasty stuff we need for configuring, calling Visual Studio, calling configure scripts and all that stuff. And it transforms your inputs, which is, let's say, some library source code. This can either be some C or C++ library, independent of Tickl, but also Tickl extension packages, Tickl pure or pure Tickl packages, or of course Tickl NTK itself. You need, for each package, you need a so-called build script where you define what you want to do with a package, how to compile it, how to distribute it. And finally, you get some distribution directory, or you can also build installation or setup programs. You see here an example with on Windows with InnoSetup. So you get a Tickl BE, batteries included, distribution which you can install then on your computer. So what are the build files about? The process of building has some global steps like bootstrapping, which extract, for example, the MSys distribution on Windows, which is distributed with a board. It does the setup stuff, and then it has a loop for each library you want to build. It cleans the build directory if existing, and then it needs four steps: extraction of the source code, configures part, then the compile part, and then some stuff where to copy the generated files to. And finally, there's a finalized step where you can do user stuff and copy them to some location, for example. So here's a simple build script from Tickl UDP. You have a proc which is called init underscore and then the library name. Here you have some, or here you supply some metadata, like the author of the script itself, where is the home page where I can find the source code, and on which libraries the package is dependent. In that case, UDP, it's only dependent on TCL itself, and you can specify on which platforms the library can be compiled. So you can specify Windows, Linux, Darwin, and other platforms, or if it compiles on all platforms which are supplied by or supported by BAWT, then you just write all. And then you have the build procedure, where you extract the library. There are some utility packages in the board framework which says extract library, and the library can be either stored in a compressed file format, or it can be just a directory. If it's your working checkout, for example, you can also use that. Typically on some libraries you can add patches to the source code after extraction. This is needed for, let's say, several older packages and supporting this board. Then you have the typical configure step and the compile step. If the Tickle extensions are written with a TIA architecture, it's just a call to the TIA config and msys build commands without further needs to do something. And in the distribute step, you can copy the generated DLLs and Tickle files, which are typically then in the install folder of the library, to some global place where all the Tickle code or the Tickle binaries and the packages are collected. What to compile or what to build is described in a so-called setup file. Here you have the board procedure setup, where you specify the library name, where the source code is. This can also be just a directory, for example, and the name of the build file. And you can also specify some options, for example, some MOOPDF stuff does not run on Darwin using the ARM architecture right now. And setup files can also be nested. So in my distribution, the tools are a little bit organized in, let's say, just tools like the SWIC program or CMake and stuff like this. And Tickle Basic, these are Tickle extensions which do not rely on external libraries. And Tickle Star Pack, which contains Tickle programs which are then compiled in a standalone executable. So here you see the current hierarchy. As you also see, it's not limited to TCL itself, but you can, as I said, you can compile any C or C++ library. And let's say the intention came from my work 10 years or 15 years ago, where we also had used the OpenSceneGraph library, which is itself depends on a lot of other C libraries. So I needed a way to automatically compile that stuff and all the external libraries without human interaction, but automatically. Currently, well, my main intention is on TCL, and the OpenSceneGraph part will slightly vanish out in the next releases, because OpenSceneGraph itself is obsolete right now, and I personally do not use it, so this will be fading out in the next releases. Then, as I said, the libraries itself are dependent on other libraries. So you specify this in the build file, and let's say the board framework has a lot of command line options where you can view different things. Example here, command line option dependencies. It gets you the list of packages which are supported by board and says, okay, which libraries are these dependent on. Okay, so that was a short introduction what board is about. Now we look a little bit into the past and to present. So the latest version of board is 3.3, which I released after the release of Tickle 4 last week. And to compare, the first version had 23 items. I call it items because it's C libraries, Tickle extensions, Tickle itself. And the current version now has 141 items for which are compiled and included in the Tickle batteries included. When I started 10 years ago, current version was 865. Since version 3, I think the change was in the 3, I support both the 8.6 branch and the 9 branch. So when started, what did I support? Windows, Linux and Mac, each on the x86, I typically call it Intel platform, it's easier to talk or to speak. And with the current version, the number of supported platforms grew a little bit. Still Windows, Linux for 3 platforms, for the Intel platform, ARM and RISC-V. Then Mac OS now runs on ARM, and board can also produce universal binaries. And yeah, my specialty, my two exotic platforms are the SunOS Open Indiana clone, or the SunOS clone called Indiana, which runs on Intel platforms. And just recently, or since this year, beginning of this year, I started porting Tickle and lots of extensions to the Silicon Graphics IRIX operating system, Silicon Graphics were the high-end 3D workstations in the 80s and 90s, so I have some of them at home, 30 years and older. So what's missing is...
FreeBSD? I was going to say FreeBSD.
No, it's...
Oh, because I use FreeBSD, so I'll have to give it a go.
No, it's older. And yeah, what's interesting, and I found several bugs in the image extension or other extensions, because all the other platforms are little Indian, and the MIPS platform is big Indian. And so by compiling and testing on the MIPS platform, several extensions got some patches because they were not ready for big Indian platforms. The one thing which is missing in the platform list is Windows on ARM. I don't have one for testing. Maybe somebody has such a beast and would like to test it. And one drawback which still exists is I'm building on Macintosh using the Unix configure scripts and not the I'm not producing macOS frameworks.
Oh, so it didn't work then in that case.
That's one of the points which the Mac gurus like Mark Culler and others often say, okay, that's not good. We need frameworks on macOS to have it right. But okay, people often ask me, okay, do you have a room full of servers and testing that stuff? No. I have one good notebook with Windows 11 where I test the Windows stuff. On that laptop I have 2 terabyte SSD. 1 terabyte is full of virtual machines. So I have all kinds of older and newer Debian, SUSE, Fedora, Ubuntu and OpenMandriva virtual machines where I can build and test the Linux stuff. For Linux ARM I have a simple Raspberry 400. For the Debian RISC-V stuff I have this small computer which is a Star-5 with a RISC. Of course compilation times are slow on that machine, but compilation on that machine compared to that one which costs cost, let's say, so 30 to 40,000 euros in 1995, these machines are approximately 5 times slower than this one. And okay, for the Mac stuff, I have an old MacBook Pro with an Intel Core 5 and a current M2 MacBook Air, where I can produce the ARM and Universal binaries. Open Indiana, of course, is another virtual machine. And for the SGI stuff, I would say this is my parade of O2s, and I have some Indigo 2 and the Indy, and in total, I think 9 of these old machines. Not all running yet, but I'm working on it. So the other stuff, ticket kits or star packs. There has been some discussion recently about the naming and what's a ticket kit, what's a zip kit, and all that stuff. In my naming, which I introduced in the framework, ticket kit is, let's say, ticket TK compiled together with quite very, very old and unsupported packages, KBS kit, Tickle virtual file system, and VG Tickle. And I managed to port that stuff to 9.0, but to 9.1 or newer versions, I will not port it. It does not run on 9.1, and I don't want to invest too much effort into this very old technology. It's, let's say, good for taking the step from 8.6 to 9, but for a newer 9 version, it will not be supported, because there we have the zip kits. Somebody, I don't know who came up with that name, so I call it, it's just more or less a plain static build of Tickle and TK. And the new Tickle version has all the technology in it, which in a Tickle kit is made or supported or offered by these old stuff. And a star pack is either a Tickle kit or zip kit, some of these technologies where you can put in packages, data and stuff like this, and it is distributed as a single file executable. It was mentioned already by I think Manfred, stuff from Ashok. You can build star packs with a board. Here is a list of what I offer currently. So these are my own packages or programs, and I also offer the Tickle Debugger, Tickle SSG, for example, TK SQLite, a graphical user interface, and these can all be built either using a Tickle kit or a zip kit. And for building a star pack out of a zip kit, I'm using more or less the same technology as Ashok is using now in the SFE stuff, because he the idea and the tools and stuff he makes, he has already written down in the wiki page, where I have stolen the steps you need to make a star pack out of a zip kit. And Ashok now has put these steps into his new version of the SFE. So, yeah, that's what I already told you. Can be built either using Tickle kits. I supply on my homepage Tickle kits and zip kits for all the mentioned platforms, even the exotic ones. If you have an old SGI at home, you can download the Tickle kit and try to run it. And here is a little wiki page I have written, because there are two subtle differences if you wrap a program using a Tickle kit or a zip kit. The one is how to determine where the main end entry point for your virtual file system is, and the other one is to detect am I running in a ticket or not. And here is a little module I've written on that wiki page where you can where these stuff is transparently managed in a small tickle module. One drawback I have found is if I am using zipkits, I can no longer have batch programs on Windows. Using a tickle kit, I am able to, here you see a DOS shell, and I start my POF program, and you get the both output or other stuff on the console. Using a zipkit, it's currently only possible to write a pure graphical user interface without a console. Okay, then generate distributions or setup files. The original version had none. We have now Inno setup for Windows where you can put your ticket batteries included. I have written some stuff to write or generate Debian distribution files or simple DMG files for Mac. And on all Unix systems, there's a simple self-extracting shell script if you need one to install your distribution. So here are the supported compilers currently. 10 years ago, I started, I think, with 4.9. Currently, I'm testing with that GNU C compilers on Windows from 7 to 15. And as I said, the MSys and GNU compiler are part of the board distribution. So if you want to build that stuff on Windows, you don't need any compiler installed. Everything you get from the homepage. Then I'm testing with Visual Studio from 2017 to the newest 2026. On Linux, I have, as you have seen, lots of older and newer Linux distributions. So the latest one which is working is compiler 4.9.2 on Debian Yesi. I previously generated tickle kits on an old SUSE version which had a compiler of 4.8.5, but this doesn't work with Tickle 9.0.4 anymore because somebody introduced a C11 feature, the generic feature, which this older compiler does not know about. Okay, what's in the new board framework? One thing which people told me it would be nice if you do not need to use the prepared source code distributions, but download from any site and in any format. So the newest version now has some options. So here's an example where it can, what it can be used for. So anybody will now can easily test alpha beta releases of Tickle NTK. You just have to write, let's say, such a simple setup file where you specify the location where the alpha or beta releases are located, and then you write setup Tickle. Anymore, but oh, okay. And you specify the name of the file where it lies on example SourceForge. And here the URL, that's a new option which tells the board framework where to look for that file. And you have to, because, oops. Because it does not know which version. Normally the framework validation step, you call the same command but with a target test, and then the framework executes the test suites of TTL and TK. And if you have the log, graphical log view of BRBT, you will see something like that. If you say okay view test failures, it says okay TTL has 5, TK has 0. And if you double click on the TTL entry, it will show you the list of errors it has found in the test suite output. And typically on Windows you have these three F command failures, which are fine because they happen every time, and you get messages like this, test file exiting with errors. That's a typical case where the TDBC stuff does not work because you don't have, in that example, MySQL installed. So with it, with this new feature and such a simple setup file, it should be possible for more people to test alpha or beta releases, because it's more or less done automatically. And if you find suspicious errors, you can, the log file name is standing here, you can send that log file just to Don or whoever cares about that stuff. Okay, I already mentioned it. My newest stuff is, since the beginning of that year, is retro computing and bringing my SGI collection up and running. The current board version 3.3 now is able to compile the latest TTL 8.6.18 and several extensions. I focused on the extensions which I need for my personal applications, the TTL 3D and the PO apps. And here you can see some screenshots from the latest TTL 3D running on a IRIX 6.5. And yeah, you see OpenGL 1.1, one of the first OpenGL versions. And here's the PO apps running also on SGI desktop. You see here the stuff. So that's my personal fun project I'm working on. So these are my last slides, because there will be the TTL state and discussion panel afterwards. I want to say a few words from my personal opinion about TTL core and extension development. Oops. Okay. I think in the last 2 years, I think it was, the TTL and TK core development improved a lot. This is due to the TIP 713, where we have now regular and planned releases in accordance to the TTL release plan. This has improved quality, and also for people like me who are building distributions, I know, okay, it is planned in May, then it took till June, but you have a window of appearance of new releases. And also, I think it's more on the stuff which is called semantic versioning. So if I increase the patch number, I typically wish that nothing has changed on any interface function or so. That was not the case with the old 8.5 or previous 8.6 versions. So this is something which has increased a lot. Then there are these regular video meetings, which Harald really powers and thrives on, which I think help a lot for communication. So it's testing with a GitHub CI, which if it works, then helps a lot for testing and seeing if any commit made problems. But still, testing of by the community is still needed, because we have only a limited amount of platforms available on GitHub. And as you can see, and as I noticed in my year, in my many years of development board, every Linux distribution has some small things, or people have something installed or not, which can make problems. So testing by the community is still very important. Second step is extension development. This is a slide I made 2 years ago here, when I was talking about my experiences porting Tickle and Tickle extensions to Tickle 9, which was brand new at that time. And most of the problems I have written down here still exist. Distributed source code repositories for Tickle extensions. Lots of Tickle extensions not actively supported. One plus or one improvement was or is the introduction of the Tickle TK deport by Ashok, where he collects obsolete Tickle extensions, so there's a common place where people might contribute or download. Yeah. Other stuff like official versions are seldomly released, also a big problem. I've talked with Andreas yesterday, for example, TickleLib and other extensions are very seldomly, let's say, updated officially. Then most extensions don't have sufficient test suites, and the problem with official binary distributions, there are, let's say, besides mine, the Magic Splat from Ashok, Christian Werner has one, there's the Iron Tickle, there are several more or less private projects where people try to distribute batteries included distributions. But the problem is, we have discussed this 2 years ago, it's always discussed in these Tickle meetings. The problem is getting more and more difficult because of all these signing certificates you need and stuff like this. But let's say, I don't know what's the current state, but two people I know of, Mark Kaller for Mac, has at least started a repository where he wants to build binary distributions for Mac, and Phil Brooks did the same for Windows. Don't know, haven't looked at it in a time, don't know how the state of these projects is.
Phil Landers wrote me yesterday that it was discussed in the meetup. Phil Brooks was in there and he's close to conclude.
Okay. So that was it for my part. So you can switch.
Well,
should we leave that for the discussion?
Stefan, will you put up my presentation?
There's one question.
One question.
Of course. Just to please.
It's just a very short question. I mean, this port, you have everything included there. What is the additional value of Mark Kaller's or Phil Brooks' binary releases over your packages that you own?
No, the problem is I don't support certification and stuff like this.
Digitally signed.
Yeah.
And they do additional security.
So on Mac, you you have two building styles, universal and what is called a framework. And on recent Macs, only the framework, and the all files must be signed, all DLLs and so. So all this stuff must be signed.
Yeah.
And that's...
That's one of the problems on Mac. The other problem is you need a developer account and all that stuff.
All services.
Yeah. And on Windows, I have a signing procedure where, because somebody wanted this or said, okay, is it possible? On Windows, I could, let's say, write my own certificate, which is not, let's say, valid, but for testing it works. So there's a in principle you can sign Windows executables, but it's more difficult on Mac. And the problem is, if you want Windows an official certificate, you have to pay on Mac. You have to pay
$400 per year. It's a month.
So that's nothing. Private people will do. That's a problem, how to manage that stuff.
I just renewed the certificate for my company and it's €400 per year at the moment for Windows.
My point is, if you compile your particular environment yourself, I think you have to care about yourself, about the signature of this. So I think it's not really necessary to provide this.
Yes.
If I supply software myself, I have to give my own certificates on it. I have to.
Yeah.
So I think for a standard user, simple user, I think that's not really necessary.
Yeah.
Because on Mac you have an exception for simple users, and it's not really an issue. And on Windows you can run nearly everything. No.
Okay, any other questions? Ian? No? Yeah, okay. So, Paul is also Mr. Tickle 3D. So, we saw today by Frank the cockpit stuff, and before we saw some stuff by you, Mr. Tickle 3D. So, yeah, great applications.